Well, hey there. This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. We're coming at you from Evangel Community Church in Houghton. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Evangel, and sitting across from me is Pastor Travis. How you doing, Travis?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent.
Doing pretty good. This weather's been beautiful.
It is a nice change of pace.
Man, oh man, yeah. Well, we're excited to be with you today. We're talking about whether or not God cares about the little things in our lives. And that made me think of a story from when I was a kid, a worry that I had, a fear really that I had, that when I look back on it, it seems silly. But I saw this movie when I was a kid that made me terrified of a nuclear bomb, which, okay, that is a legitimate thing to be terrified of, I think.
Totally.
But I used to have dreams about it all the time. And even to this day, every once in a while, I'll have a dream. And basically the way the dream goes is that I'm out at a playground or playing in the backyard at my house or whatever. And I would see way off in the distance that mushroom cloud. And I'd be screaming silently. You know, you get that in dreams sometimes until the blast hit me and then I'd wake up. And I can just remember all the time having that as a recurring dream. Like I said, I still have it to this day. But it was one of those things that I look back and I go, why was I so worried about that as a kid? You know, it's not like I grew up during the Cold War. As Pastor Levi, when he's here with us, likes to point out, I am a millennial. So I was born after all that jazz. But that was one of my fears and worries as a kid. Did you have anything like that when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but when I was a kid, that was, you know, I'm the vintage of Unsolved Mysteries and the TV show Rescue 911.
That's still the scariest theme song that's out there.
It's creepy. Dun, 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 and I don't know why I was allowed to watch it, but, you know, I was. And I developed this fear of somebody breaking into our house and like stealing, mostly me is what I was worried about. So there's a story that my mom will tell, that when I was little, my brothers and I all shared a room and we had one bed, and I would sleep in the middle always. And my mom was like, what in the world is wrong with you? And I'm like, well, where do we start? But my rationalization of that is that if somebody did break into the house and I was in the middle, they're going to grab who's
ever on
either
side of the bed.
They're
going to get somebody else first. Yeah. That's very strategic.
But, you know, growing up, that was a fear. And it was something that I'm like, you know, my parents were usually home. If somebody comes into the house, like, I can probably trust that they're going to go out there first. But you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, this brings us into the first part of what we're talking about today. So as I said, we're talking about, does God care about the little things in our lives? And the first thing goes along with what we were just talking about on that question. Does God care about little worries, the little things that we're worried about? And I just want to be clear, we told stories about things that we were worried about when we were kids. That's not to say that things that kids are worried about are always little things, but in our lives, whether we're kids or adults, we have things that maybe feel small to us that we are worried about. So that's the first question we want to tackle here. Does God care about little worries?
Yeah, and just to preface back about these things that we were worried about as kids, like Jesus tells the little children to come to him, and that the disciples shouldn't hinder them in doing that. So, I mean, whether you've got an 8-year-old mind and worries, or a 23-year-old, or a 50-year-old, or a 90-year-old, like, our worries are real, and God wants us to bring those to him. We look at the verse out of Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. And then it goes on, but in everything, prayer and petition, be thankful to God and bring it to him. So God does care about our little worries. Mm-hmm. He wants to know us at a personal level. And what, like we were just talking about and sharing our stories, like, that builds relationship. Those are things that I didn't know about you, and not too many people knew about me, but now the cat's out of the bag. But God does care about that stuff. He wants to know the things that are on our heart, and we can bring our big worries and our little worries to him. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've often thought about that verse, and the question that I've had before as I've read that or talked about it with, you know, Bible study groups or whatever, is why does God care if we worry about things? You know, and it doesn't say here, do not be worried about little things, just worry about big things. It says, don't be anxious about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always, you know, kind of wondered, what's the big deal? Why does he care so much? And I think what it comes down to is, if we're anxious about something, there's a level, if we're followers of Jesus and we've given our lives over to God, where we're saying we don't trust got to take care of those things when we worry about them, where we, and here's the thing too, that I will also kind of give as a caveat here. I think there's a certain level of worry that's just a motivator. There's, mm-hmm. there's things we got to do. And so, you know, worry might not be the word that we all use for them.
Concern.
But the translation that we have here uses the word anxious, which I always think that's a kind of a next level version of worry. So I do think that there's some level where it's appropriate to go, okay, there, these are the things that I've got to get done, and I want to make sure that I do them, prioritizing things and that. Mm-hmm. But this is talking about being anxious, which is like fear that the things, those things won't be provided. You won't have what you need. You won't be safe, like those kinds of things. And I think that matters to God in part because we're supposed to put our trust in Him for all that we need and for our safety and all that kind of stuff. And so I think that's some of where that comes from.
Yeah, and one of the passages in the Bible talks about God's perfect love and it casts out all fear. You know, for a lot of people, I think we have the fear of eternity, what's going to happen, or a fear of death at some level, especially like I think of, you know, my kids. And when, you know, a pet passes away or something like that, you know, you start to have these deeper talks about life and what happens after life is over. And so those are kind of those anxiety-inducing worries that I think that we can have. In Matthew, it also talks about not to worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink or your body or what you wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not reap or sow or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more valuable are you than they?
Yeah.
And so God views us, we're His creation, His kind of crown jewel, the masterpiece of what He created. And so He cares about you. Whether you know Him or not, there's a deep love that God has for all people, which we talk about often on here. That's why Jesus came, for the forgiveness of sins for all people. And in His grace and His mercy, God offers us that gift. We just have to accept it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing that's interesting about the human condition, that we're able to fall for this idea that we can somehow control things and provide things for ourselves. I think I've talked about this on this podcast before in the past, but sometimes I think back to times where people in general were more connected to gathering their own food, growing their own food, those kinds of things. And when you look back at people who live, and even now, people who live with that as their reality, they're growing their own food or raising their own food, whatever. There's this understanding that God is really the one who's in control of that. So there, I think there's a deeper connection with that provision. And that verse is such a good picture of like, God, you look around, you see God providing for the animals. They have what they need. They're, you know, they're not worried. And we're so much more valuable to Him than all of those other things that He's created. And yet we're the most worried and the most anxious about, well, am I going to be okay? Am I going to be all right? You know? And so I don't know if that connection totally makes sense, but thinking about the people who are a little bit more connected to the reality that these things are reliant on God's provision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that we can miss out on in our life, where we, you know, go to the grocery store and buy what's there. And
yeah. Yeah. Cause we have so little control over it. I think of I grew up in central southwestern Wisconsin, very much farm country, and they were weather dependent.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't make it rain.
Right.
I couldn't make it rain, but they were dependent on the rain to come and make sure that there was, you know, frost stopped at a certain point by the time they had crops in the ground. And God was in control of that stuff. And so we are reliant on, in many more ways than we actually realize, on Him for provision and those things.
God clearly, from passages like this and some of what we've illustrated here, God does care about our what we think are small worries, because He wants us to be reliant on Him in all things. What about another area here, shifting gears? Does God care about our little sins? Those small things we do.
The white lies.
I'm not talking about murder. I'm not talking about stealing stuff from people. But just the small things. Does He care about the small little things that we do wrong? What do you think?
Yeah, I think He totally does. I mean, You have kids. I have kids. Mm-hmm. We talk with our kids a lot about trust and telling the truth, and that even a little break of trust in telling those little white lies damages that trust that you have in them a whole lot. And so God is our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be connected in relationship to Him. That's why the parent analogy works so well. Yeah. We are children of God, for those of us that believe in His Son. Yeah. And so, yeah, it matters. It matters the stuff that we say, whether it's true and honest mm-hmm. and good and right. It matters the things that we do. Knowing God's all-knowing powers and capacity that are beyond our ways, that's kind of scary because He knows our thoughts and things too. So there's nothing that we can hide from God.
Yeah.
And He wants to know our heart. He wants us to be in a right, connected relationship with Him. So yeah, He absolutely cares about the little sins in our lives.
I think it comes down to character.
Mm, totally.
You know, especially, you know, as you talk about like with our kids, I want my kids to be honest in the small things and the big things, because really it's a sign that they have character,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to do what's right even when no one's looking. Those kinds of characteristics that are valued universally in our culture, I think that's what this topic gets down to. And it makes me think about a character from Scripture in the Old Testament, King David.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy, I mean, to preface what we're about to talk about here, and some of you who know your Bibles, you probably know where we're going with this, but King David is, this is the same David who took down Goliath, right? He's, you know, David and Goliath. This is the same David. God is clearly on his side, has been guiding his steps. Lots of stories of God protecting him and showing His favor on David. David, for a lot of what leads up to the story I'm about to reference, was God's man, right? Probably really good character from all signs that people could see. He even gets a whole book of poetry into the Old Testament. I mean, it's the book of Psalms written by David. Amazing. But there's this story in 2 Samuel. King David, his nation is at war, and there was a time where David would have been on the front lines with his men, which was kind of the honorable thing, I guess, for a king at the time to
noble,
do.
Noble, yeah.
Yeah, he would have been with them, and that was kind of how he did it in the past. But this particular time, he decides he's going to stay back. And while he is back and his men are up at fighting this battle, I believe it says he's on the roof of his kingdom or something, which, you know, in those days, he, from that vantage point, he probably could have walked around and seen into everybody's yard, into some of their houses. It was a lot of open homes and things like that he could see. And he looks over and he sees a beautiful woman bathing. And rather than turning away, he takes another look. And then he takes a little peek. And this quote-unquote little sin, his decision to take another look, leads to – now this is making a long story very short. This leads to him actually having this woman's husband killed so that he can be with this woman. I mean, it's a small thing that leads to a very, very big thing. And that's kind of the nature of how sin tends to work. There's a show out there that, you know, as a pastor, I probably should not admit that I've seen this whole thing. But I do think it has a redeeming quality. The show is Breaking Bad. And, you know, it's a show about a guy. He's a high school teacher, a high school chemistry teacher. That's important in the story, who figures out that he can make really high quality meth. Okay, if you haven't heard of the show, you're like, what is wrong with this guy? So hear me out here. This show follows this guy's kind of – first, he sort of just dips his toes into this life of crime. And by the end of the show, he's kind of gone to the top of that whole thing and ruined his whole life. And to me, it's a story of what happens when a small compromise is made and how it can lead to complete destruction. I mean, by the end of the show, spoiler alert, maybe you shouldn't watch it anyway. I probably shouldn't have. It ends in complete destruction for this guy's life. Hmm. And that's how sin tends to work.
Yeah.
We don't often get away with a little dip and we get to get out of it and unharmed, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's a super good point, because I think there's a Christian song about it. It's a slow fade. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And that's totally true. You make one wrong choice and nobody finds out.
Yeah.
And then, okay, Nobody saw that one. It's easier to make the next one. And pretty soon you're 10 steps down the road and looking around and there's destruction and chaos all around you. And like, what the heck happened? That's why it's a pretty pertinent verse that James talks about when he's referencing this story about David and Bathsheba. And he says, but each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. And so it's that same idea. We give our sin one foothold in our life and, you know, might not have hurt anybody, that first one.
Yeah.
We take the second one. Maybe nobody still knows. But eventually, it causes some destruction. Men's 33 that we do here, there's one whole entire section that deals with pornography. And, okay, that's a sin that you can commit pretty isolated from other people. You take a look on your computer, maybe nobody knows. Yep. But the destruction from that, not just from a Christian perspective, but from a societal perspective, the research and the studies that have come out on the damaging things that causes in your brain to your relationships, it's just terrible. Stay away from it. Don't take that one step down that road. So God does care about those little sins because it's a segue to more. It's a segue away from him, and it causes destruction. Maybe not right away in your life. Maybe it's down the line, but there is going to be that chaos and destruction.
Yeah, you know, and this is kind of pushing against a myth that I think we see in our kind of thinking about God is that he has a scale for sin. Like, okay, some aren't that bad. You know, you lied to your mom, you know, but at least you didn't kill anybody. You know, I went to murder again. I don't know why. It's probably because I watch these shows that I shouldn't watch. Anyway, but that's not really the case. There are different consequences for different sins, but they're all equally offensive to God and his holiness and his perfection and the standard that he's put on our lives.
But the consequences, that's a good point, are not all the same.
Yeah.
But in God's eyes, every sin separates us from his holiness because God's just good and perfect, and the way he created the world, he can't be around that.
Yeah.
So that's a good point to make.
Yep. Well, should we close this out with one more question?
Yeah, let's hit one more.
Yeah. So does God care about our little prayers? And another way that I might say this is, does God care about our little needs, our little disappointments, our little desires? Does he care about those things that we might bring to him in prayer?
I say absolutely. And again, I will go back to kids.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about raising our kids up with a character, a godly character, a noble character, knowing the difference between right and wrong. And you go back to that passage where Jesus tells his disciples to let the little kids come to him. Don't hinder them. I think we have, you know, as adults, more developed thought patterns and processes. And so we look at the world more complexly and differently, but a kid can still know who Jesus is and the need for a salvation and a
Absolutely,
savior and a Lord
yeah.
in their life. So I think God cares about our kids' prayers, and he cares about the little things that we're worried about, and he cares about the little prayers that we have for him too. We're supposed to bring Philippians 4, every situation by prayer and petition, bring your request to God with thanksgiving, present them to him. That's part of knowing God at that deeper relational intimate level.
Yeah, it's the second part of that verse that we started with about not being anxious. It says, you know, as we read before, do not be anxious about anything. And then it goes on with what you just read. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's kind of giving the antidote for how to not be anxious.
Yeah.
It's saying everything, bring it to God, and he will hear you. And I think that's a key thing for us to realize, you know, again, there's this kind of cultural idea about God that I think we are constantly having to push against in this time that we live in. And one of those things is that you should only be praying when you have huge needs. You know, my dad is sick with cancer and we need him to be healed. You know, my friend got in a car accident, please keep all the, you know, these big things. And yet we also see that God cares about the small things. You know, I've had many situations where there was something that we were looking for, or, you know, and it was a small thing like missing keys. We had one time we were on a trip with
high
school kids.
Which can
be a
very big
thing. Yeah. We were on a trip with high school kids in the winter. We were doing a winter camp, and somehow we lost the keys to one of the vehicles when it was time to go home. And what was at stake there? Well, not much. We would have figured it out, but we prayed, God, help us find these. And we found them. You know, I can think of tons of little things like that where, yeah, was it that big of a deal? No, not really. And yet God still cares about those things because he tells us, don't be anxious about anything. Bring everything to me. Lay it at my feet. Trust me.
And I think that's one of those character things like we were talking about. It's a trust issue.
Yep.
You know, if we want to trust God in the big stuff, we got to trust him with the little stuff too. It's interesting because this is a psalm by David who we were just talking about. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me and too lofty for me to obtain." He knows everything about him. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows about the thoughts that we have before we even have them. So if he cares about knowing every little detail about you, yes, he cares about the big things, mm-hmm. and he cares about the little things. It's that relationship where you go to him with the small stuff, you go to him with the big stuff.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And it speaks to something that I just think is important for us to realize that is true about God. And it's a truth that comes, it's woven right into the gospel, which is what we also call the good news. And the good news is that despite the fact that we have a sin problem in our world and in our hearts as individuals, God loved us enough to come get into our mess by sending his son Jesus to be fully God and fully man, to be with us, to die on a cross, to take our place, to set us free from the ultimate consequence of sin, which is death. And that just illustrates for us the fact that God really does care about us, and we have a God who is involved and intimately involved. You know, there's this way that we talk about Jesus coming, that Jesus moved into our neighborhood. And you look at a lot of other world religions out there, even some that are historic that people don't even believe in anymore. The gods in those religions are often far off and distant. And that's a very unique part of what it is to be a follower of Jesus, is that we believe that our God is with us and he freely offers that forgiveness and that grace and that freedom to all who come to him. And that's why we gather on Sundays to worship and praise his name. That's why we seek to learn more about him, how to follow him, because we trust that he's a God who is with us and cares about the big things and the small things.
And that is good news you can use with Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Community Church podcast. If you guys liked what we talked about today and want to hear some more, or you have some topic ideas for us, please reach out to us. Travis@evangelup.org is the email you can send those to. Or if you want to catch up on any previous episodes that we've had, you can just search out Evangel Houghton Podcast on your device and check in with Pearls and Swine episodes as well at evangelup.org. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. We'll catch you next time.